So I just have a few things that I want to say before we play briefly. But the first and most important thing I have to say is I have to say thank you, because I woke up this morning filled with a feeling of gratitude that I get to come here every week and make music with these dedicated singers for this wonderful, appreciative community. And occasionally we get to invite amazingly gifted people to come make music with us, and I just can't say thank you enough for that opportunity. Late last night, this little talk acquired a title. The title of this talk is Connect the Dots. So I want to ask you if you noticed anything a little unusual about the bulletin cover this morning? Yeah? Did you look up to see if you were in the right church?
Yeah.
So, our new church administrator, Shane Brody, had the inspired idea to replace the usual picture with this picture, which is the Thomaskirche in Leipzig, which is the church that Bach was working at. He was the music director there when he wrote the cantata that we're about to perform. He worked there for 27 years, actually, until he died in 1750, and this building is about 5 centuries old. Martin Luther preached from this pulpit. It is a storied, hallowed place in music history, a place of pilgrimage, which is why, way back in the early 1970s, Dr. Brock, my childhood organist, went all the way there from a little Presbyterian church in rural Florida and brought me back the little thing which is not chocolate. When he came back and presented me with the little souvenir, he told me rather dramatically that he had had to go behind the Iron Curtain to get it. And I naturally thought that the Iron Curtain was a real thing, right? So I was pretty impressed by that. He seemed like James Bond all of a sudden. All right, so I just want to say that looking at these massive stone walls of the Thomaskirche, looking at this picture, is a pretty good point of entry into Bach's music. Analogies to architecture are hard to resist when you're talking about Bach. The ingeniously constructed shapes, there's a sense of balance and proportion, there's symmetry, there are beautifully carved phrases that house other smaller phrases. These and other characteristics that you can hear in his music have suggested architecture to performers and commentators for centuries. And as you listen, it can feel like something is magically being built around you. When you take Bach's highly developed musical spatial sense and pair it with this hymn text by Luther, what you get is a mighty fortress indeed. Bach would have felt the full force of these words, devout Lutheran that he was. The full translation is available if you want to take a look at it. So one way to listen to this music is to look at these impenetrable stone walls and read Luther's words and think about Bach's cantata as a musical depiction of a mighty fortress. So you can do that, but I will tell you that this isn't actually how I experience Bach at all. And this music does not feel anything like a wall to me. It feels like something different. Probably because I'm not a late medieval German like Luther was. Very little actual experience with fortresses. And I also don't feel myself assailed by demons and threatened by Satan, which is a lot of what this text is about. So I don't feel the need for that kind of protection. But mostly I don't relate to the fortress metaphor because I experience Bach as a moving, living, breathing thing. Any musician will tell you that Bach is fundamentally about line, about the moving line, its direction and flow. What is a musical score, after all, but a smattering of dots connected by lines? You take the dots and you connect them with the lines that we call stems, beams, flags, staves, slurs, ties. We have lots of names for all of these different kinds of line. And when you have connected the dots, what you have is instructions for breathing life into a being that lives and dances. So I would like to encourage you to listen for line and for how the lines cooperate with other lines. The musical term for this is counterpoint. The spiritual term for this is relationship. These are conversations. In the interrelatedness of musical lines, there's both intimacy and distance. I'm doing my thing over here, and you're doing your thing over there. But we're also doing something together, and it only makes sense within the context of the larger whole that contains us. Indeed, it's only by our collective activity, each of us drawing our own lines, that the whole is made at all. We are the ones connecting the dots. So with that image of connecting the dots in your mind, I want to leave you with one last image, one last way of hearing this music, which is how I hear it. I'm going to read you a brief Buddhist fable. It's sort of another version of connect the dots. I warned Ben and Talitha that I was going to take a left turn into Buddhism this morning, so watch out. This story is called Indra's Net, and the short version of it goes like this. Far away in the heavenly abode of the great god Indra, there's a wonderful net which has been hung by some cunning artificer in such a manner that it stretches out infinitely in all directions. The artificer has hung a single glittering jewel in each node of the net. And since the net itself is infinite in dimension, the jewels are infinite in number. There hang the jewels, glittering like stars. If we now arbitrarily select one of these jewels for inspection and look closely at it, we discover that in its polished surface, there are reflected all the other jewels of the net, infinite in number. And not only that, but each of the jewels reflected in this one jewel is also reflecting all of the other jewels, so that there is an infinite reflecting process occurring. So that's Indra's net. You can think of looking at the Milky Way if you've ever seen the Milky Way. In this story, we are the jewels connected to each other in an interdependent web, reflecting each other, showing each other who we are. I love this story, and now every time I look at a musical score, I see Indra's net. We don't just connect the dots, we are the dots. The precious jewels held in an infinite web. And when I hear music or when I make music, I'm starting to have this visceral experience of the music as the filament that weaves us together into the net. I imagine Bach's contrapuntal lines connecting everyone in this room as they fly out of violins and mouths, joining each to each and each to all. I imagine these musical lines escaping the walls of this church and stretching out beyond the horizon to the very edge of the universe, linking us to every star, every glittering jewel in the sky. And I feel it connecting me back in time, as I tried to explain to the kids, to the vast lineage of those who came before and who gave me the gift of being here doing this today. And so as we play and sing, I would like to invite you to hear and feel in this music the beautiful web of relationships that holds you and connects you to everything that is.